What's really going on, Crypto Savages? You're listening to my daddy's podcast, the CoinSwipe Podcast.
What is really going on, Crypto Savages? You are listening to the CoinSwipe Podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at CoinSwipe.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
Is really going on, Crypto Savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out at CoinSpice.io, back with another episode of the CoinSpice podcast. I've got Jahon Habilov. He is the editor, curator of the Russian language crypto site CoinLife.com. Real interesting time to get a sense of the scene in Moscow and the Russian Federation, things Putin, things regulation, things sanction, how they see us, what the future is. Super interesting to talk to someone there in Moscow and to get a sense of how they're seeing the space now that pretty much everything has crashed. So do yourself a favor, pick up, maybe actually put down the milk, even though it's going to get spicy. Grab some vodka in honor of our Russian guest here. And pull up a seat, put on your babushka, and buckle up. It's gonna get spicy. Without any further ado, here is Jahon Habilov of CoinLife.com. Let's start with it. Are you trying to infiltrate the U.S. elections?
Hey, good to see you, Edward. My name is Jahon. Yes, I think so, but I'm not sure because I don't see too much TV and what's going on there. But I heard that our hackers are pretty good.
Yeah. We're positively in the United States obsessed with Russia. Russian dressing, Russian bears. Your fighters come over here and kick our butts in NA. We're obsessed with you guys, so I just wanted to joke with you right off the bat. First off, you're in Moscow, is that right?
Yeah, I'm here in Moscow.
Wonderful. And let's before we get into the scene there in the Russian Federation and Moscow, let's start and your work with CoinLife. And what you're doing there, CoinLife.io. Let's talk a little bit about. First up, how does a Russian guy find Bitcoin? How did you first discover it?
Yeah. First, we are at CoinLife.com, and we are like a crypto media, and we write on Russian. We mainly focus on Bitcoin and on mining industry and everything what is going on here in Russia and the countries we're near the Russia, the former USSR countries, what's going on here. And we try to cover it first and, you know, accurately without there are some censorships and stuff, but we want to be unweighted media and be in the middle. You know, there are many, many sites inside the cryptocurrency space, but we try to be in the middle.
Okay. Us through. So before you get to CoinLife, and you said .com, right? I said .io like an idiot.
Yeah.
CoinLife, like as in the life of a coin, CoinLife.com. Before you start that, how do you discover Bitcoin?
Well, I'm not actually a Russian guy. I moved to Russia like 15 years ago. I'm originally from Tajikistan. It's the country it's a south border. It's a former USSR republic. So I moved to Russia like 15 years ago, and I graduated university here, and then work in a company that sells computer servers and, you know, the big things like Oracle, HP, IBM and stuff. And then I heard about Bitcoin from my mates and tried to search some information on YouTube and what it is and ask Google. And then it was, I think, in 2015, the late 2015. And then I just see what's going on, but I was not too much interested about that because I had a, you know, a family life, and I was like just reading, but then forgot for a while. But and then I saw there was a movie called, I think, Bitcoin Gospel, where there was a Roger Ver, and he was describing everything about Bitcoin. And you know, after that, I realized that this system is gonna work, and it was the point when I started to, you know, believe. Maybe I can say like, yeah, believe it, and then search more information, discover more, and all the details. And then after, I think 2017. I attended at one conference in China. I go there and I got my tickets and I say to my work that I need to have a holiday for 1 week and take the tickets, bought it by myself and go to that conference. It was the first conference that I attended and it was everything new to me, but I saw so many exciting people, and it was really I was really impressed, you know. And then after I there was a lot of people from mining industry because it's China.
right
Yeah, but I saw it all, and then I think maybe what can I do to be closer to this industry, to the whole crypto world. And then I realized that to be a successful miner, you need to have some extra $1 million. And then I said, no, I don't have some money like this. Then I thought that what if I start the media? Because when I was searching the information about crypto and especially Bitcoin, it was not so many media covering that here in Russian language. So So this is the market where can I start to do something new? And then I talked to some guys, and they were very interested about that story. I said that I want to start this project by myself, and I'm searching for some support from maybe investors, and I got some investments very early, and I talked to my friends who are already had a experience in working in a media company, like, you know, like chief editors and stuff like that. And then we come together all and started this project on December 2017. And since that day, we are running it and day by day covering everything about crypto.
Wow. So you guys have been around. Wow. So December of 2017, you've been over a year now. And wow, have you seen, I mean, December of 2017, the space was going crazy.
Yeah.
A year later, wow. You have really seen the dip. So what is the scene like? How is crypto, is it being embraced in Moscow, in Russia generally? What do people think of it there?
Well, of course, it's like everywhere in the world, everybody got crazy about crypto. You know, when you drive a car, you turn on the radio, and the like music channels, they talk about Bitcoin. Every channel they talk about Bitcoin. When you come home and turn on TV, there is Bitcoin. So really crazy because everybody, they washed out every GPUs on the market, and there was no any, you know, video cards in the market, in the stores. So
they're all being used for miners, right?
Yeah. It was like many people, they started to mine at their homes. Some of the houses, they were burned out because they didn't. It was really crazy, you know. And it was like cryptomania, Bitcoin mania, yeah. And everybody was crazy, and actually everyone started to buy it when it was 6,000, when it was 10, and then 15, and when it was 17, more and more people started to buy because they believe that it will go maybe to 30, to 50, I don't know, to maybe 100.
Sure.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, crazy times. I was, my phone was like 2-3 calls a day. They were asking, where can I buy a Bitcoin plus 5%, plus 10% over the market? And I was nice. Like, I was like, I don't know. I can give you some numbers and they can help you. But I was not, like middleman.
Yeah. Wow. And so now you've watched it, you know, kind of, well, not kind of, you've watched it essentially crash. What's the mood like now?
Well, if you are asking about the general mood on the people, and I think everybody, like not everybody, most of them are thinking that this is the bubble, and it's completely crashed, and well, nothing will happen good about crypto in the future. Mm-hmm. I think many people, they are thinking like this. I mean people that are not very got involved in a crypto, you know, they are not adopters, they are not like believers of Nakamoto consensus or whatever, but ordinary people, they are not, I think they are not believing in the future of crypto here.
And you're finding that that's true in Moscow and the surrounding area. So the interest has just kind of completely died down, huh?
Maybe. I'm not gonna say that everybody thinks like this, because of course if we compare like 3 years ago and what is now. And at least now people are, they know what is the cryptocurrency and what is the Bitcoin. If I ask, like, go to streets and I ask 3 years ago, what is crypto, and nobody knows it. But now at least they know that there is a cryptocurrency that got to the 20,000 and then crashed. And some of them are still believing, but the most of them are, they say that this is the bubble and this is the end of the story.
Yeah. That's that we, like you say, we've seen that repeat itself all over the world. Is there a difference, do you think, in the Russian mindset, having come so recently out of the Soviet Union and communism? I ask that because we're here in the West, we're told that Russia, especially right after the Soviet collapse, was thought to be kind of a crony capitalist, casino capitalist paradise, where all these vultures were coming in and exploiting people and so on. But is there a difference in how, like, a Muscovite or a Russian sees crypto, say, from other people in the world? Like, could they have maybe even more faith, like compared to the ruble, or I'm kind of curious as to how they would view. Is it just about mining, or do they maybe see it also as a medium of exchange to be used?
Well, I think some of the people who are close to the government, I think they believe that it can be in a middle of the exchange, because the, as you know, the country is now under the sanctions, and there is some there is some problems to get a liquidity, a dollar liquidity, and like ordinary Russian bank cannot take some dollars at a very good rate. So because half of the Russian companies, they work with the companies like Rosneft or VTB Bank or, I don't know, Gazprom, which is under the sanctions of the US, and they cannot take advantages from the US dollar or US government services. And that's why the market is completely closed for them. I mean, dollar market.
Right.
So, and these guys and these people, they try to search for other way how to trade with other countries, how to, you know, develop their trades and sell out their products to the other countries, to China, to Latin America, to Iran, for example.
Sure.
And I think some of them are looking for the crypto to maybe to find out if crypto can help them to, you know, to trade it without dollar.
And there was lots of talk, especially last year, of Putin's government looking into the supposed state-backed crypto, like crypto ruble. And we saw Venezuela move forward with the Petro and actually bring it into, supposedly with Russian experts, bring it into existence. Do you have any idea of where the crypto ruble stands now, or you know, what the media there is saying about the idea of a state-backed crypto?
I think the Petro example is... it's not like what Russian government want to be, because the Petro was like a experiment. I think it's sure. Because it's not working, and I think Russian government is under the way how to implement this crypto ruble. I think that the progress is going on about this, how to say, to announce maybe this year or next year that the crypto ruble will be. I think they are just negotiating with a central bank and the other government structure that how they can, you know, regulate this new class of asset or new class of money. I don't know how to say what's going to be, but definitely there is a movement to that way to create something crypto related with a ruble behind.
And how's the economy there where you are? Is it in the tank? Is it doing okay, or is it really, really suffering from sanctions?
I think it's suffering. I think it's suffering from sanctions. Not there is no inflation. Government tries to, you know, to stimulate the economy. They well, from one side, the sanctions are well. They hurt the economy and especially ordinary people, because they, the ruble, it tank from the last 4 years, maybe something right. Like 50%. And because if you go to abroad or if you want to buy iPhone, you need to pay twice than you would pay like 5 years ago in right. Rubles. But the salaries are pretty same for the whole this period. And that's why I think ordinary people, they suffer. But from the other side, I can say that the sanctions, they were a trigger to, you know, to try to produce the all goods inside the country. I think agriculture, they are doing very good. And year by year, they are growing very fast. And if you see the statistics, especially chicken and meat and these things like, you know, agriculture stuff, it's growing. And
go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, from the one side it's suffering, but from the other side it stimulates the people to produce something inside the country, and for the country it's not bad, you know.
That's interesting, and because for us, especially in the West, we think of sanction as being more humane than say like war or whatever. And on the surface, that's certainly true. You know, you don't want to see bombs and stuff flying. But on the other side of it, sanctions, I think, can be worse because they have like generational impacts. You know, people can't have access to capital and they can't build, and it sort of affects everything. Whereas maybe a war is kind of temporary. Sanctions seem to last forever. But I think what you're saying is that it's kind of forcing some of the country to get a little bit more creative in how they go about economic life. Do you think that could eventually, in kind of a weird way, lead to more people thinking about cryptocurrency?
Sanctions. I don't think that the sanctions is a trigger, or is that the point after people are trying to see what crypto can deliver them, or what crypto can give them. But especially in these times where people are not have an access, as you said, to capital, they try to search for other way, including crypto.
Okay. But
for example, my personally, my mother, she said that I have some U.S. dollars, I have some rubles in my bucket, and I have a couple bitcoins. So she's also trying to diversify her wealth.
Smart, very smart. That is interesting. So you like you say, you start CoinLife. .com, and it's been going on for like a year now, and because I've looked at it, is it mostly Russian, or is it all Russian language?
Yeah, it's all Russian language. We were thinking about make it international, especially when the market was a little bit like higher. I was thinking about maybe we can translate it or write something about the crypto in other language, maybe in the language of CIS countries. I mean, the countries are neighbors of Russia, like Kazakhstan or even Uzbekistan, the countries. There are a lot of young generation people, new people that are discovering this new tech. And after that, we just put it on hold. And then we thought maybe we can write it on English. But, you know, we are still thinking. I cannot say that we are not going to do that, or we will definitely do. We are thinking, what can we bring something new? Because there are a lot of media, and I'm happy that we started this project where there were many, many competitors, you know.
Yeah, because they've all kind of, they're all starting to fall, and you guys have established a pretty nice reputation. So with the Uzbeks and the Kazakhstanis and so on, you say they have young populations who are interested in this. Do they, as a matter of course, kind of, I would assume, being former parts of the Soviet Union, do they have kind of a rough knowledge of the Russian language so they can access your site anyway?
Yeah. Well, most of the republic that they were the part of the USSR, they still know, many of them still know the Russian language and can read freely and normally without any problem. I'm not sure about Georgia and the countries like Latvia and Litva and Estonia, but most of them, like 10 or 12 countries, that they can normally read Russian newspapers and media.
And so the specter of Putin in our side of the world, he looms very large over everything, and we use him as kind of an avatar of like a villain and all this stuff. How does the crypto world in Moscow in Russia how do they see Putin and cryptocurrencies? He's made some positive statements, I think, like a year ago about it, right?
Yeah, he said that we need to discover this new technology, and we need to not to over-regulate this new kind of economic activity. You know what I mean, right?
Right.
So he's not a person that make steps before he completely knows the results. So his background is very interesting, and that's why I think he thinks too many times and then says one time at the end. So I think he's continue to discover, or maybe he's the people who are around him continue to discover, and I think he looks positive to this. Maybe he looks like this is can be opportunity to Russia to, you know, to continue economic growth. Maybe
That's interesting. That's not something I think people on our side would have guessed. So that's really, really interesting.
No, you know, there is a two points. I think first point is that, as you know, Russia is a very rich country with resources.
Right.
And everybody need to realize that there are a huge energy resources in Russia. So this is the opportunity to if the mining business is going and the miners from across the world, they are searching for a optimized price of the electricity, they are very welcome to come
right.
to Russia and use this energy, which is not used in normal days before. Like, it was just throw and nobody used this energy extra. So this is the one point. And the second point is that, as I mentioned before, this is the way how can Russia trade with other countries, not touching the dollar, you know, because
right.
if they try to start to trade with other countries like like Iran or Venezuela, they cannot do it freely with United States dollar.
Exactly. And do you see? Because Putin is going to be there for as long as he's likes, it appears. How's the Duma and sort of the politicians that surround him and maybe the other parties? So if you can look into your crystal ball into the future, let's say Putin passes away or he just gives up the presidency or whatever, what's the political climate? Because here I've heard that and it's not crypto related specifically, but they had a lot of problems with Pavel Durov and Telegram, banning him. And then they had an ICO and all this other stuff. So it's hard because Putin seems to be, you know, like you say, like he'll study it, he'll look into it. He's not going to, you know, stop it right away, especially if it annoys the Americans, but also, how do you see it, sort of the underlings, the people below him? How do they view crypto and kind of the future going forward for the country?
Well, there is always two sides, you know. One side is a pro crypto, and the other side they are not they won't allow crypto to take place in the wide you know adoption. So I think the Central Bank of Russia, they are very like pessimistic, or how to say, they are not looking positive for crypto.
But, it threatens them in a way.
Yeah, but the other wing of the government, like Ministry of Economy, they are looking for the crypto as an opportunity, because their responsibility is to boost up and to economy get grow, and they see that this opportunity with crypto. But national central bank, they don't want to lose control of their emissioning money, and they realize that if crypto gets widely adopted, they cannot control it.
Right.
So I cannot say there is a wide discussion in some meetups and conferences, and even on TV, where crypto is good or not. But there isn't, I cannot say that there is a one point, or there is a one strong line about the crypto. There are two wings that one of them is positive and the other one is not.
Yeah, that sounds very much like what's happening here as well. So
yeah.
Well, all right. So let's end it this way. Let's talk about the future of CoinLife. You have some kind of big plans for a conference there, as we were talking about before the show. What's kind of the immediate future for CoinLife and crypto in Moscow?
Yeah. So as we talked before, this year it's not maybe a best time for organizing big conferences, but some of our partners they started to organize, and there is a lot of work background work now, and they're gonna be a big conference on May in Moscow. And this is gonna be, I think, one of the biggest conferences for last several years. And the main topic of this conference will be how can government and business work together to get crypto more get adopted. More in a wide way, in a right way, in a widely used to everybody, and how can business achieve benefits from it? And I think it will be a good conference, because there will be established business as well as the people from government, and I cannot say the list of the people who are gonna speaker in this conference, but I'm pretty sure that it will be a high level and top level speakers.
Very nice.
From Russia and outside the Russia, from United States, China, and other countries.
Very nice. And about how many people do you expect to attend in May?
The conference hall is booked for over 3,000 people, so it's going to be big. Well, we believe that it will be a really big conference, but the main target is not too much people, but we want to organize the conference and invite people who really love crypto and wanted to, you know, to get forward and look not to the charts, but what can we do from crypto to get it wide, and really make it more wider make it use for everyday life. So I think many businesses and startups will come to this conference from Russia and across the globe, and I have time to invite you guys to visit Moscow and visit this conference.
Very cool. Yeah, we would love it. Well, that's great to hear, man. And I wish you all the luck. Coinlife.com is a really interesting project. You can your Google browser or your Firefox or whatever will get in there and translate it. Really interesting content. Really interesting project. You know, Russia and that part of the world is the further east you go, the more interest there seems to be in crypto. And you know, some people say it's the future of this space. So
yeah, thank you very much. And I, if I have a some couple minutes, and I want to invite everyone who is related in crypto from the West countries, go ahead, go visit Moscow, go visit Russia, and there is a very people are very welcome to see everybody, and you can easily use Bitcoin sometimes here if you are talking with the proper people, and you cannot buy coffee still in Moscow, but some cafes, some coffee shops that they sell coffee for crypto, but one, two place, like, it's like we have our own Satoshi cafe, you know, in Moscow, so they definitely sell some coffee for crypto.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you staying up so late to talk with us. Good luck with coinlife.com, and maybe we'll have you back on after the conference to see how it went, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to talk to you.